This is the BBC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Ah, good morning, Peg. Perhaps you wouldn't mind taking these in to the Air Marshal.
What are they? Comics?
Oh, aye, boys on adventure. Biggles, flying detective. Biggles takes back control. What half-baked nationalistic draws?
They're for Air Marshal Peabody.
Oh. He's not quite been the full shilling recently.
Mrs. Vermincake, the head cook, just yesterday caught him trying to sculpt a U-boat out of powdered egg and Ovaltine. Plus, all his rabbiting and cursing.
We've the comics you ordered, Air Marshal.
By Beelzebub, Snake, Biggles. Everyone, please, leave us alone. Or we'll have
see?
German,
what does he mean, us?
Used as a grisly end to a German folk tale.
Oh, dear.
Peabody may be senile and us prolapsingly bureaucratic, but compared with the others of his rank, he's a pusscat. If anyone catches wind of his present state, they'll replace him before you can say...
Jack Robinson.
Interrupting Scottish Git, yes.
But what do we do?
Peabody always suffers a blow whenever a campaign hits a snag. Mm. And with the Italians recapturing Sidi Barani, I expect Peabody merely needs to lick his wounds. He'll be right as rain within 24 hours, as long as he remains undisturbed.
Oh, Dottie. Peg, there you are.
Good morning, Millicent.
This is Dr. Thomas Pinkley.
Delighted.
Charles.
Dr. Pinkley runs the electroconvulsive therapy unit at Sunnyside Sanatorium. He's a psychologist.
An honest Joe with an honest trade. But we're a long way from Sunnyside here in the war rooms, Doctor.
On behalf of the Ministry of Health, I'm required to conduct interviews with all government and military personnel to determine those for whom the pressure of war is too great. The psychological weak links.
Oh, hell.
Beg pardon?
I'm sorry, I have a cold.
We were just about to drop in on the Air Marshal.
The Air Marshal?
The man whose door you're blocking.
Not in, Elping.
Not in.
Stepped out. Knock, knock.
Not here. See?
Beg pardon, did I hear a voice?
I don't think I heard anything, Peg.
From in there. You're hearing things, Dr. Pinkley.
Quite imagine. A psychologist who is himself hearing things.
Indeed.
Perhaps we'll return presently, once I've concluded showing the doctor around.
Splendid.
Oh, Peg, before I go, I need this telegram sent to Heart Breakfast Hall. Do you think that's within your capabilities?
But you, Millicent, I'll give it a go.
Good. This way, Doctor. Have I introduced you to Officer Background?
No.
Shell shock, I suspect, caused the most severe and upsetting case of rhubarb is and one's ever likely to see.
Really?
Give that here. Let's see what the hell she's up to. Dearest Uncle, fingers crossed for aforementioned new job opportunity opening stop. Keep ears open stop. Yours, Millicent Hillary Hillary J. Stop. Why, the duplicitous swine.
What is it, Olga?
I have an ominous feeling that there's something malevolent afoot. Or should I say, malevolent?
No, I think it was right the first time.
Take these comics into Peabody.
Are you going to check up on Pinkley?
No. By my reckoning, Pinkley's just an unwitting stooge in Millicent's dastardly game. But I've a suspicion I ought to do some checking up on this hard breakfast hall.
Morning, Dossie.
Peabody's in trouble, which means we're all in trouble.
Why?
Because if he loses his job, they're likely to replace him with someone efficient. Pass me the almanac to Gotha.
What?
Next to the telephone directory. Yes, yes.
It contains within all Europe's royalty and nobility.
Ah, Peg, did you see the Air Marshal?
Unfortunately, he's built a wee fort under his desk, and the sign stipulates it's no girls allowed.
Damn it! They're always one step ahead.
Don't pretend you know what's going on, Myrtle.
Yes, boss.
Telephone directory?
Similar. It's the Almanac de Gotha, Peg. It's a type of...
I believe nowadays most people know what the Almanac de Gotha is, Dottie.
Very good.
Maybe in the future people won't, but it's not the future. It's nowadays.
Point made, thank you. Now, Lord Harbinger Brimstone, Lord Hamilton Brachiopod... Air Marshal Lord Alexander Hardbreakfast.
What does it say?
Uncle... Hard breakfast, guns for the Department of Work and Pensions. So volatile a man, he once hanged a little matchstick girl for nearly passing away on his doorstep on Christmas Eve.
Flipping eggs, Dotsie!
As I thought. Millicent's orchestrating a coup in order to remove Peabody and install her own uncle. Peg, go and keep the doctor busy, and I'll see if I can get Peabody out of here for a few hours. Keep him off the radar.
Right.
Jossie, can I ask...
We're keeping Peabody and Pinkley separate because Millicent wants Dr. Pinkley to certify Peabody as insane so that she can install her Uncle Hard Breakfast as head of operations.
Right. Which one's Dr. Pinkley?
A severe man in a black suit with a precision side parting. He's a psychologist. You scratch your ear, and in one glance they know which way up you arrived, whether you were bottle-fed, and when you last ate dung for breakfast.
Escort, Mum and me got all dressed up.
Well, Pinkley's going to have a field day with you. You know they have the power to lock you up for what you're thinking.
Well, no, because I never told no one nothing.
He'll tell from your eyes. I mean, you'd have to trim your eyebrows back a bit and get rid of some of the foliage. You're doomed, Myrtle.
You really saying he's going to lock up me and Peabody?
What? No, no, no.
You.
Christ, we're going to save Peabody.
Ah, Dorothy.
Dr. Pinkley, hello.
Millicent was called to operations, so I was wondering if you might show me back to the Air Marshal's office. So many identical doors.
A very slight change of plan, I'm afraid. Little reordering of the interviews.
The clock is ticking.
Quite. So might I introduce you to Myrtle?
Hmm?
Stick out your paw, Myrtle. Come on, we've done this.
Indeed.
Well, I know doctor-patient confidentiality when I hear it. I'll give the two of you a little private talk time.
Dorothy?
Yes, the Air Marshal, half an hour. Dr. Pinkley? Sir, just seeing if...
Can't you see I'm working?
Often easier to type with the lights on, sir. And less ominous. May I have a word?
What? Oh, if you're referring to that no girls rule, you needn't worry.
Good,
that
well...
That condescending Scotchwoman was taking a mimpsy-pimpsy tone with me.
Smashing, well...
I've no time for pussyfooting or bush-beating.
Quite. And with that in mind, sir, may I ask what you're typing?
Absolutely not.
Very good, sir. I was wondering if perhaps it's... Such a nice day outside,
and get
sir.
Out while you're at it.
Out, sir? You say it's such a lovely day. Why don't we both...
Don't make me stand up and say it.
Sun shining, birds singing...
Standing.
Oh, right. Gosh. Little thought, sir. An Englishman's legs are his castle. But for the sake of those serving under you, if whether...
Out with it, woman. Whether...
Whether perhaps some trousers, sir. Not for my sake, per se, but...
Trousers?
It is traditional, sir. Nothing too trousery, sir. Nothing radical. No one's asking for a third leg or a reinforced self-procreating rear or more than one fly. Just a little light trousery.
Something wrong with your commanding officer's knees?
No. And are those... Were those your school shorts?
It's my name sewn into the arse.
Yes. Just thinking that... Should the ministries send some interfering cad? I mean, none of us would want to appear mad. So perhaps a veneer of...
Of?
Invariability, sir. For their sake, sir. I'm always reassured by visiting the war rooms. He might comment, all the men there are invariably trousered. It sets a tone, sir.
The day England lets a woman set the tone for a man's trouser is the day Britain appoints some kind of flummoxed and gaff-prone Billy Bunter Pastiche as Foreign Secretary. Is that understood?
Quite. Except one last thing, sir.
I'm not going for a bloody walk.
Ah, Dotty. Backing out of the Air Marshal's office, I see.
Well, one dabbles. Adds a string to one's bow vis-a-vis entrances and exits.
Oh, save yourself a hernia, old thing. I'm here to see Peabody, not you.
Oh, what a royal pain.
How so?
Just stepped out.
Just stepped out before you backed out?
Just.
I've just come from your office. Pinkley is now interviewing Myrtle. You're not playing the giddy goat, are you, Dotty?
I assure you, the reality couldn't be further from the truth, old girl. Perhaps, while I locate Peabody, might you not jump the queue, old girl, and visit Pinkley first? So no one's wasting time.
Well, I've been done. Rorschach test and everything. A moth, a ram's head, two gnomes fighting over a pudding, clouds parting, a 1929 Rolls-Royce Phantom II, Daddy's straw boater, and some kind of family crest involving two peripheral beavers and a hammock. 10 out of 10.
That was only 7.
Well, I'm not going to give you all the answers. Listen, I don't pretend to know what you're up to, Dotty, but I am now giving you an official order, old girl. You'll give him this. Peabody's to return in order to see Dr. Pinkley at 5 p.m. this evening, or I'll have you court-martialed.
5 p.m., you say? I'll pass it on. With a little luck, that might just be enough time.
I've never been so much of a friend person. Dotty says there are 2 kinds of people in this world, people who are friends and me.
She does. What about colleagues?
There's Peg.
And what's she like?
Scottish, mainly. And then Dot, who I mentioned, who's probably my best friend.
Oh?
Yeah, except mostly she doesn't know it, I think it's important for even the closest of chums to keep some secrets from one another.
Such as their friendship?
Oh, still going. I'm so sorry about her, Dr. Pinkley.
Why might you be sorry?
Yeah, there was a school trip. She must have wandered off from the group and, well, we're stuck with her.
Indeed.
Well, if you're still chugging away...
Were you looking for me, Dotty?
Hell no. Peg.
In the canteen.
Spiffing. Off I pop. Oh, Murty, afore I go...
Yes, Dotty?
On dete akfe iste apye ufe ime.
Also, I guess sometimes there are so many words... We can't help but say the made-up ones.
Well, she said, don't mess this up for me, in pig Latin.
You know what, mister? Sometimes when I'm really scared, and there's bombs everywhere, and it feels like the whole world's coming apart, I close my eyes and think of Dotty.
Just so that I have a cast-iron certainty here, there is only one Dotty, isn't there?
We'll be short if anyone catches us in here.
Shut up and look for something we can use as a disguise.
A disguise?
Ah! Peabody left his spare military jacket on the back of his chair. Try this on.
Why?
Because then you can meet Pinkley and Peabody's place, Peg.
By God's milky behind, Dotty. Whiskers. Great testicular dolls. Usually something about forgetting your name.
That's brilliant. Look, use this clothes brush as a moustache.
I don't wear a moustache.
Yes, Dr. Pinkley doesn't know that. They've never met.
If we've never met, old girl, why do I need this disguise at all?
Because, you second-rate circus foil, Peabody's a man. And I don't know if you've noticed, but some aspects of your person are ballpark feminine. Oh, buttered asses, someone's coming. Hide, hide.
I'll try in the cupboard.
Cupboard, I called it. Mine, but mine.
Oh, Womack's where now?
3, 4. Enter office. 1, 2. Close door. 3, 4. My jacket. 1, 2. Spot and it's gone. 3, 4. Notice new mirror. 1, 2. Be perplexed. 3, 4. Check reflection. 1, 2.
Reflection checked. 3, 4.
Wave at reflection. 1, 2.
Reflection waves back. 3, 4.
Preen moustache. 1, 2.
Preen brush. 3, 4.
Look suspicious. 1, 2.
Be assured. 3, 4. Leave the room. 1, 2.
Leaving the room. 3, 4.
Oh. Down the hall. Gosh, that was close. It's safe to come out, Dotty. 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 You'll never guess what I did, Dotty. Using an old Scottish man trick, eh? Dotty, good God. Dotty, what is it?
Something's not quite right, old girl.
Dotty?
I think I know what he's been working on. Locked away in here on his typewriter.
Gosh, what is it?
I mean, mostly it's story ideas for Biggles comics. 17, 18 full story outlines. And then this. 600 pages, each one reading, all work and no play makes Biggles a dull boy.
All work and no play makes Biggles a dull boy. All work and no play makes Biggles a dull boy. Oh, I can't face it, Dotty. What on earth can this mean?
Are we there, Martle?
Our mum would say, straight up, I have no medical training whatsoever. Go to see a doctor. And you know what? Or a vet, if appropriate. You know what? She's always right, and that's why they called her the wise woman.
But she had little time for you and the others.
But that's what... You know, it's so good, like, because Dotty's like the mum I never had.
How?
Well, she Taller?
Taller.
Oh, and she's got terrific posture, Dotty has. And she's middle class, which is nice for her.
How else is she different? How else is Dot different from your mother, Myrtle?
I'd like to go for a wee now, please.
Would you like a tissue?
Oh, I don't think that'll help.
No, for your tears.
Dot says I'm not allowed numb tissues after what happened the last time.
What happened the last time?
I went and got it dirty, didn't I, mister? Silly old Myrtle ruined both plies and it was only a two-ply tissue.
Myrtle.
Please don't lock me up. I'll fit in. Ask anyone. I'm like the lovable feather-brained one. Every officer's got one. Ask Hitler. Bet you tap Mr. Aitney. Mr. Hitler's got this exact same star, just in German. Please, mister. You got children. Think of their faces. Now think of me squeezing in between them. Aren't I lovely? Myrtle's not mad, Daddy. She just needs a wee. Come on, let's let her go to the toilet.
Myrtle.
Don't lock me up.
Here. Use my handkerchief. Use it, keep it, and henceforth hold yourself in greater regard.
Sorry.
It's possible Dottie's attached to you in her own way.
Sorry.
You must speak with her, Myrtle. Myrtle, where's the handkerchief?
I blew the wrong way!
The Air Marshal is in his office now, Doctor.
And this one?
An ink blot?
It is an ink blot, Air Marshal Peabody. What I want you to tell me is what the ink blot makes you think of.
Without it being too mad?
That's not how psychology works, Air Marshal.
Yes, but obviously it would be good if he... I weren't locked up and electrocuted, so...
Just relax and say what you see.
Everything to play for.
And this one?
Not just an ink blot, a... coffee stain.
Ooh.
No, a tea stain. No, gravy. No, Bovril, Ovaltine, Guinness, Goebbels.
Beg pardon?
Too mad.
Ah, don't touch a thing.
Pardon me. We're conducting an interview in here.
In my office? Away with you.
Your office, sir?
Of course it's mine. Who are you?
Don't talk to him, sir.
Who?
The doctor, sir.
Mine has not.
Oh, we don't know this man from Adam. He could be a... German spy, for all we know.
Oh, everyone's a German spy these days.
He might not even be Oxbridge.
How dare you? Have you seen his side parting? It's so sharp you could use it to slice through a charging bull, ring to ring.
But, sir...
No, not another word. Hot-headed Bolshevik bunkum. And who are you, and what are you doing in my spare military jacket?
I'm Peg, sir.
A woman with a moustache?
It's your clothes brush, sir.
Modern women, eh? Where will it end? Women walking on the moon or flying? Can women fly?
No, sir.
No, of course not, no. The skirts make the whole thing unseemly. Now, what was I doing? Ah, Morse code machine. The egret has landed. B. Oh, how spiffing. Abrupt and to the point. Well done, Signalman B.
Sir, while I have you here...
Yes, old boy.
Would you mind passing your eye over these?
Ink blots, eh? A moth, ram's head, two gnomes fighting over a pudding, clouds parting, a 1929 Rolls-Royce Phantom II.
Ah, knew it.
Millicent Stathis straw boater, some kind of family crest involving two beavers and a hammock. A tree.
Ah, a tree.
A fretful prawn, and a map of the Hanger Lane gyratory system, as yet unbuilt.
Just totting up your score.
Ah, to explain the brain, or brain-splain, as you doctors put it.
Indeed we don't.
Free to go.
Oh, one last thing. Aristocracy?
Do you see me eating dung?
Perfect. 10 out of 10, sir.
Save us a break, and Britain be saved. Tickety-tonk, Dotty. Doctor, me.
Toodles.
Dorothy, is it?
Oh, yes.
Your Myrtle Superior.
As
you're here, perhaps you'd like to take a seat.
It's all right, Myrtle. I've done my test. Pinkley told me to wait here.
He said I should talk to you about something.
Why have you got a bit of a hanky protruding from either nostril?
I was in an unwitting tug-of-war against myself, Dotty.
Yes, fine old morning, wasn't it? Looked a touch disastrous at moments, but where there's a clear mind and sharp focus. How was your interview? I think he was a tad impressed with mine.
Dotty!
Mind you, maybe I banged on a little about my mother in part.
Dot!
And did you do the ink blots?
I am a magic being!
No, more of a... snotty goblin, hard to say. Turn to the light.
Dr. Pinkney asked me to write my feelings down.
Why would he do that?
Once upon a time, a magic bean, me, found a mighty beanstalk so big and impressive it blotted out the sun. But in its shadow, the magic bean couldn't grow. She asked the beanstalk to move just a little, but the beanstalk hadn't yet learned to listen with respect.
Why didn't your magic bean move just a little itself? Or simply find another job, say, in a munitions factory? It wouldn't have taken 2 minutes, Mert. Honestly, pass me the telephone, I can look now.
Are we finished? And I was that magic bean!
Just because something happens to you, Myrtle, it doesn't mean it's important. And that goes for epiphanies.
Pigley said I should assert myself.
Really? He told me you were mentally deficient.
He said that?
Oh, it was heavily implied. He rang and ordered a cab for two. He's taking someone to Sunnyside.
If everyone could go in and take a seat.
Will this take long, Doctor?
Hell's custard. This is most unorthodox.
Well, taken a turn for the Agatha Christie, hasn't it, old girl?
Oh, room for a little one.
Dorothy, please take a seat.
Yes, very good.
There is a war to be getting on with, Doctor.
Indeed. I won't keep you long, but I thought my conclusions might be valuable to all.
Is this entirely necessary?
Please, Miss Hillary Jones, there is one here in this very room for whom immediate treatment is necessary. Peabody.
No! Peabody's just a sane man in insane times who has wobbly episodes and psychotic ones.
Don't interrupt. Peabody?
Yes, Mummy.
Sane.
Giddy flips.
Millicent?
Please, please, please.
Sane.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Now, Peg, you believed that by donning a jacket and holding a clothes brush over your face, you'd somehow convince me that you are Air Marshal Peabody.
Not for a second.
No?
No. Dot told me to do it.
I shall like to monitor both you and Myrtle again in 6 months' time, once working conditions have altered. Now, Dorothy.
Me?
You spend the day trying to prevent me from meeting your commanding officer.
Yes, that's not mad.
Peg and the clothes brush.
Well, yes, in retrospect.
Interrupting my private interview with Myrtle to smuggle her coat.
I didn't know such thing.
Ezye, Ouye, Udivle, Ide.
Oh, that.
Good God! A real-life hysterical madwoman, tearing about the war rooms, her womb migrating willy-nilly about her body. It's true, I read it in a book.
But, sir, everything I did was for you.
And now she's speaking in tongues.
No, sir. Oh,
sorry, I tuned out. Michael, who's turn to talk?
Dorothy displays indications of paranoid narcissist disorder, hypermania, and possible psychopathy.
Oh, Dottie! And they all said you'd never achieve anything. Take that, Mummy, eh?
But Nilly was orchestrating a coup against you, Air Marshal.
Da, da, da!
Oh, what rot!
Then why were you lunching with Hard Breakfast last week?
He's my uncle.
Da, da! Oh. Hogwash! You wanted Hard Breakfast in Peabody's place.
For this supposed coup to work, Pinkley here would have had to find me insane. And look at me, sharp as a frog.
Well, I thought, what with the shouting, the comics.
Shouting comics is code. Nothing but damnable code.
Code?
Jerry's been hounding all our communiques for 5 hellish weeks now. It was the PM's idea. One afternoon last week, we were in his office.
And?
Oh, we're not doing a flashback.
Impossible in real life, sir.
Oh, right. Human voice it is, then. He wanted not just a new code, but a new vehicle. And what would look more innocent than children's comics? But unfortunately, putting code in comics means having to write blasted comics. Mm. I thought to myself, Air Marshal Peabody. Everyone knows you can marshal the air, but can you marshal the poetic whimsy of a child's imagination? And by the Dukes of Wellington and Hazard, I believe I have.
What about all work and no play makes Biggles a dull boy?
Anagrams! Remember my receiving a message from Sigmund B. in the previous scene? Mm. Well, I've been developing a coded special edition of Biggles in reserve, in case the United States was ever in peril.
Really?
Quite. Warn all U.S.
Warn all U.S. from all work and no play makes Biggles a dull boy?
Warn all U.S. Goodbye, Signalman Peabody. We're not savages.
Leaving only KK and 3 L's left.
Yes.
And using N twice.
If the day ever comes, they'll get the gist.
But how can you explain your temper, sir? Or your trousers?
I had to think like a child, petulant, anarchic, and ruthlessly under-trousered. But why did you think Millicent wanted hard breakfast to usurp me?
The telegram, the job op.
Hard breakfast here? Oh, the war rooms are no place for a sadist like Lord Hardbreakfast. No, 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 no. The Department of Work and Pensions is the only place for him. Without sufficient managed outlets, his vitriol towards the common man will spill out and rip the fabric of Britain asunder like some kind of cummerbunded King Kong. That's why the DWP was built to contain people like him.
The system works!
So the job op was for you, not him.
One can only kneecap a certain amount of working-class pensioners before someone starts to see it as un-British. Hard breakfast needs someone with charm to handle the bleeding-heart tabloid press, that's all.
I'm afraid I must ask to relieve Dorothy of her duties, Air Marshal.
No, Peabody, sir, I'm begging you.
Agreed. Sign her off for Sunnyside.
Please, no, I'm not mad. Say something, Peg. Millicent? Please!
No, no, a little light electroconvulsive therapy is like hair of the dog for wacky crackpots like you, isn't it, Doc?
Indeed. Dorothy? Oh, don't worry. You shan't need your coat.
Bye, Dottie!
Bye. Merle.
This way.
Oh, just a thought, Doctor.
Mm, miss?
As I said, my uncle's been crying out for a secretary to liaise with the press for a while now. Psychology is all well and good for unearthing the subconscious, Doctor, but this is Britain, and there's nothing that a damn good thrashing can't solve. Far better we send young Dottie by cab to Hard Breakfast Hall a month or so there, or just until his violence subsides. It'd be bracing, wouldn't you say, Dottie?
But he'll eat me alive.
Yes.
Well, that's that sorted, then. Maybe one can have a little too much of your brain-splaining, eh, Doctor?
Sir, we can't simply brush everything under the carpet. Pretend there's no concern.
Challenge accepted. Hands up, everyone, for cake and lashings of steaming tea.
Yay!
Except, our frothing lunatic here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Millicent.
No, thank you, Dottie.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Myrtle by Cato Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, Millicent by Jane Slaven, Air Marshal Peabody by David Acton, Dr. Thomas Pinkley by John Dougal, Officer Background as himself. The director was Jessica Mittage.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like